This is Pastor George Pearsons, and welcome to this very special edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory called Faith for Our Nation. I am joined on set here with Buddy Pilgrim. Buddy, welcome back once again.
Thank you, Pastor George.
We've had the last couple of weeks with Paula White Cain and talking about the elections coming up, and here we are, day before the election.
Day before, big day. We've got a lot to recap today. I was thinking about all that we're going to try to cover, and we've got clips of various programs that we've done with Bishop Butler and with David Barton, Michelle Bachman,
right.
and Paula,
right.
Paula White Cain, and we're going to condense all of this into these next 2 days, so I kind of think of it as it's the cliff notes of everything we've been doing.
I like that, buddy. That's great. The cliff notes, pulling it all together. It is so important that you and I vote.
Yes.
And if you have not voted yet, tomorrow is the day. Tomorrow is the day that we're coming together to vote and to let our voices be heard.
It's a seed that we have a responsibility to sow. Even if you think you're in a district or a state where you're going to say it's going to go overwhelmingly one direction or the other, so
right.
maybe my vote's not going to matter, it matters to God.
So what we're doing is, like you said, the Cliff Note version. We're going to be going back over some things this week, looking at what Keith Butler, David Barton, Michelle Bachman, Paula White Cain, and bringing these to you so that as you make your decision this week, you can make it with a righteous mind in set. So, this first one, Paula White Cain, voting for the right people. Take a look.
I was a person that went, oh, okay, you know, I would maybe vote when it was the big ticket, when it was the president. This is the absolute most important, because on a state level, who you put in as your governor, who goes into Senate, who goes into Congress is vitally important. Let me just break this down, and Buddy can do it. Let me give you what they would love to do. They would love for us to lose the House.
Yes.
Then they would love to try to impeach, and we'll
yes.
talk that word because it's this big, scary word. What that is a big distraction to just hold us up and delay us more and more. He references stuff as a witch hunt. There's truly distraction after distraction, because what we are warring is a spiritual warfare.
Yes.
We wrestle not
yeah.
against flesh and blood,
yes.
but against principalities.
And
what we have to do is put people who can come to a place of agreement, you know, come to a place that is not for their own agenda or just about fighting or just holding up. And we'll get to that in the judges, how we have so many lower court appointees that affect your everyday life, and have over 100 of them have been vetted and ready to put through, but they're just being held up. If we don't have the right people, and when you say the right people, this is not a difficult thing. What does the Word of God
That's
say?
Right.
You know, it's not difficult. If you find your identity as a Christian, you have a responsibility to vote your values. What are your values? Your values are the Word of God.
That's
it's
right.
plain. It's clear. It's not confusing. Let every veil be removed. Let the whatever the God of this world has blinded you through some kind of craziness, if it's CNN or Fox or any kind of secular voice or secularism, let it be broken off you right now in the name of Jesus, that you have an ear by the Holy Spirit, and that you are activated and understand that you matter and your voice matters. So worst case is that's what they want to do, buddy.
Yes.
That's the agenda yeah. of the enemy. But here's the best case. If we get things working and the right people, we get things done.
Yes.
You know, they stop fighting yes. just to fight and hold us up, and we can actually make a huge difference, because I believe that this nation was founded on the principles of God, and God wants to move right now.
There he is.
Buddy, every one of us has that responsibility, and it's important for us to vote. Our vote counts.
Yes, it does. You know, Brother Copeland's been so good about calling your vote your seed. We know it's important to sow a financial seed. It shows that we trust God. We don't trust
right,
the money that's
right,
in our bank
right.
account. It's important to sow this vote as a seed as well. And I love the fact that on these 2 weeks' worth of broadcasts we did with Paula, we started out that first day talking about just fundamentally the importance of voting,
right.
and in particular, yeah. the importance of voting in a midterm election. This is called a midterm because the President of the United States is not on the ballot today. So every 4 years we vote for the President, but in the 2 years in between that four-year period, we vote for all 435 of the House of Members of the House of Representatives, and we vote for one-third of the Senate.
Yep.
So there's 100 members in the Senate. That means 33 of them will be up. Plus, we have two Senate special elections. So this year, 35 Senate members, 435 House members. And in addition to that, we've got governors, state representatives, state House, state legislatures, local elections all throughout the country. And we call that down ballot voting.
Right.
It's so important that we cast our vote all the way down the ballot.
Absolutely. Buddy, you know, the statistics that have been brought forth concerning voting is that a lot of people vote during the presidential election, but when it comes down to the midterm election, people really don't see the importance of that. And we learned on these broadcasts, especially where this administration is concerned, we cannot lose the House, we cannot lose the Senate in order for the president to get through and make into law those things that we deem important to us.
And our ability as evangelical Christians to influence the outcome of an election is increased in these off years. I'll just talk in round numbers. It's simpler for people to remember. In a presidential election year, about 2/3 of the population vote, actually a little less than that. In an off year like this, only about 1/3 of the population votes. So we have the potential for our vote to have twice the impact that it would have.
That's right. Really, the statistics on that is that when you go in to vote, your vote, it's not just one vote. But everybody that did not vote, you are actually voting on their behalf.
That's right.
You're representing them. So that's why it's so important that we get out there and vote during this midterm election.
Well, Brother Copeland says, if you don't vote, that's casting a vote. A decision not to vote is a vote because it's letting someone else cast their opinion, cast their vote in your stead, really. And I always like to say this, someone's values are going to be reflected in public policy.
Yes.
We have a set of core values that come from this word, from this book right here. I want to make sure that our values, this isn't imposing my Christian beliefs on somebody else, trying to force somebody to become a Christian, but it's taking my place of responsibility to have the values that I believe in that book reflected in public policy by electing people who have values that align with ours.
And our vote is our seed. Just like Keith Butler said to us in this clip during one of our Faith for Our Nation broadcasts. Take a look.
Believers need to understand it's the law of the seed. Before we even start talking about issues, Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Your vote is a seed, and it brings harvest to you, to your family, and to your nation. And so you need to understand that if you don't plant your seed into the ground, someone else's seed that may not share your values is planted and brings about that harvest. I know God will hold us accountable for this. Galatians chapter 6 tells us the same thing in the New Testament. It tells us, as a man sows, he shall also reap.
Right.
And it says, sow to the spirit and reap life, sow to the flesh and reap death, which is why my second point is that Christian has to determine Colossians 3:2. I just want to read it too. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 should always determine what you do regarding voting. Amen. Colossians 3, 2 reads as follows here. It says, set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. So a Christian has to understand or decide, is your first commitment to the kingdom of God or to yourself?
That's good. That's good.
And what does that mean? See, so because most people vote based on, including Christians, most of them vote on pocketbook issues and they vote on things that they think affects them and their family. But if you're a believer, and see, oftentimes people don't understand what that word kurios means, Lord. See, when you say Jesus is Lord, which is the mantra of this ministry, when you say that, it not only does it mean master, the word Lord also means controller. See, so when you say Jesus is Lord, what you're saying is that Jesus, God, is the one that controls everything I do. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways, which would include voting. Acknowledge him. He shall direct your path.
So our vote is our seed. That's a powerful statement.
It is. As I think back when we produced that broadcast and Bishop Butler was on the set
here,
he did such a good job of laying down that principle, giving scriptural background to it. It was the first of the series we did with him as well, laying this foundation about how important the vote is, and we cannot forget that. In fact, I want to say this again. Even if you live in a district or in a state that is heavily Democrat or heavily Republican, and you think, my one vote really isn't going to matter because this state senator, he's going to win, or this House of Representatives member in my district is going to win because it's overwhelmingly one way or the other. Our responsibility to vote is to God. And He cares about us sowing that seed regardless of what we think the outcome's going to be. And frankly, in virtually every congressional district in the country, there are enough Christians that if every one of us would get off our duff and go vote, we could influence every single election.
Yeah, that's
massively.
Right. Well, the vote being the seed, you know, the scriptures just came to mind about when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Now, the righteous rule because of what we do. Because of the seed that we sow, because of us going into that voting place and really voting righteousness.
Yes.
Now, I keep here on the desk, and I've done this all throughout the series of Faith for Our Nation. I have over here the Republican platform. I've got the Democratic platform. I've done my homework. I've studied both of these. I've preached on them.
Yes.
And I have found which one of these platforms most reflect the views and the beliefs of Christians and the Word of God.
Yes.
And it is unequivocally the Republican platform.
It is clear. And I tell you, I know some people get offended when they hear a person in ministry or even a church or a ministry in general talking about Republicans versus Democrats.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there is a stark difference. You need to understand that. There is a clear difference. The Democrat Party in the last few years, the last couple of decades really, has taken a sharp turn to what we call the left.
Right.
They're very strongly pro-abortion. They're not pro-life. Their platform affirmatively states that they want abortion to be available to anyone who chooses it.
Yes.
And they want no restrictions on it. You can have an abortion right up until the day before a baby's supposed to be born.
My goodness.
Republicans recognize the value of life.
Yes.
That issue, more than any other, more than economics, more than trade, more than internet, foreign policy.
Right.
That one issue alone is enough to direct our vote.
That is, and whatever seed we sow through that vote, that's the most important, really, life, and we cannot allow this to continue. We cannot allow that abortion issue to just keep going on and going on. We've got to do something about it.
And that goes back to why your individual vote really matters. If you live in a district or a state or whatever where you think it's going to go overwhelmingly one direction or the other, so your individual vote doesn't matter, you taking a stand for life matters to God, and God will honor that and He'll bless that, as opposed to you just sitting on the sideline saying, it's not that important. It's important.
And we are responsible and we are stewards over this nation.
Yeah.
And that's what David Barton, one of the things that he talked about during the course of our time with him on Faith for Our Nation, stewardship of the nation.
Yes.
Take a look at this.
In Hebrew, there is no word for rights. You have no rights in Hebrew. All you have are responsibilities. So what you teach is responsibilities, not rights. And so here in America, we say, hey, I've got a right to vote. No, you don't. You have a responsibility to vote.
Mm.
It's not a right. Because when you say it's a right, it's something I can choose to do or not choose to do. With voting, you don't have that choice. Voting is a responsibility. And so you have a duty to vote because you're part of the stewardship of the nation. So it's not a right to vote. And that's such a key concept, because when you get past, I don't want to vote in this. I don't like the election. I'm so tired of the bickering. That's not an option. You have a duty to vote. You have a responsibility to be involved. And so as you get into that duty concept of I'm going to vote, you just make up your mind, I'm going to. Here's what we have. In America, every adult can vote. According to the Constitution, you have to be 18 and above, and past that, you can vote. 100% of Americans that are 18 and above can vote. The only thing we ask you to do is please get registered. And that way we can make sure you didn't vote five times or nobody voted for you. Just voter integrity. So all you have to do is fill out a little card and you're ready to vote. Only 67.1% of adults have filled out that card. So right off the bat, one out of three Americans says, I don't care what happens to America, I'm not going to be part of it. that's bad stewardship. That you've already given away your responsibilities. Yes. So we're 67.1% of adults that are registered that can vote. We had a presidential election 2 years ago. Every presidential election since 1980, the average voter turnout is 54%. But that's 54% not of the nation. That's 54% of 67.1%. Yeah. So you're talking half of 67.1%, and you're real roughly about 36% of adults vote in a presidential election. It only takes half of that to win the election. So since 1980, you're talking about only one out of five Americans choosing the president of the United States, which is, you look at the last election, we got 330 million. It was about 61 million that won the election. So you're talking one out of five Americans chooses the winning candidate. Now, you come into this election right now, it drops from 54% of Americans voting to 39% voting. Now we're talking 39% of 67%. So now we're at 26%. One out of four Americans will vote in this election. It takes half of that to win. One out of eight Americans will choose our governors, our U.S. senators, and our congressmen.
Boy, what a powerful statement that David Barton just made. And he gave you some much more specific statistics than I gave just before this. He gave the details of it. Mm-hmm. One in four people voting in this election right here, that's how powerful our impact can be.
It
now,
really
listen,
is.
This is Monday. The election is tomorrow, okay? So it's not too late. If you're registered, it's not too late for you to vote. Now, in most states, voting begins at 7 a.m. in the morning, and it usually goes to 7 p.m. in the evening. So you've got 12 hours tomorrow that you can vote. So get up early and go vote before work, or after you get off work, go do it then. And the other thing I want you to think about doing, is particularly because David just talked about how few people vote in this election, call a friend. When you get through watching this broadcast right now, call a friend, call a neighbor, call someone from your church, and say, go with me to the polls.
I'll tell you how important voting is. If Kenneth were sitting here right now and Gloria, they would both be looking at the camera saying, you need to go vote.
Yes.
Because we had an election that came up a few months ago. And in this election, it was a local election. It wasn't presidential. Yep. It wasn't the midterm election. And I was talking to Brother Copeland early that morning of the election. He said, George, have you voted yet? I said, no. He said, are you planning on going today? I said, yes. And he said, well, why don't you take Gloria and I? We'll have lunch together after. So it was, what an honor it was to escort Kenneth and Gloria Copeland to the polling place and to see them a part of this process. It is our responsibility to do that. And we can't be one of those that leave off that responsibility and put it to the side.
And these local elections are where people like school board members are selected. And we've got school boards all across the country that are doing things like passing regulations that say if a male, a 17, 18-year-old male shows up at high school one day and decides he identifies as a female, the school board says, well, then we're going to grant him the right to shower with the girls. Now, that's an insane concept, really. But the way you stop that is you put the right people on the school board.
Right.
You put the right people in the mayor's office and on the city council and all of those other elections all the way up ballot.
I have found too often when I've gone to vote on those elections, it's very quiet in the polling place.
Yes.
And so I realize my vote really does count. You know, we had Michelle Bachmann with us, and how fiery she is about all of this. And she really has dedicated her life to some very important issues that we all believe in and stand in. And she was with us on the broadcast, and she talked about protecting the foundation, to protect the foundation of our nation. And I want you to take a look at this, and then Buddy and I'll be right back.
Now look at marriage. Look at the redefinition of marriage.
Yes.
It wasn't legislatures that redefined marriage. In fact,
that's
over
right.
30 state legislatures put into their state constitution, we want marriage defined as one man, one woman.
Yep.
And yet a case made its way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court redefined marriage so that marriage could be between two people of the same sex. Well, let me tell you, it's not going to stop there.
No.
Because once you change the definition of marriage that's been the same since the book of Genesis, once you change that, then the next case will come up and say, well, can't you have multiple people in a marriage?
Sure.
Four people, five people, six people? Can't you marry inanimate objects? In other words, the Supreme Court would destroy the definition of marriage. Why does that matter? Because the ultimate foundation of any society is the family. And when you destroy the family, you destroy the society. And we have seen it here in the United States. Do these judges matter? I'm telling you, this is so crucial. That's why these difference makers, we need them to vote. It comes up to the salt and light. The difference makers who pulled out of the fire the election 2 years ago, they got to come and pull out of the fire so that we hold on to the Senate, increase the numbers, hold on to the House, increase those numbers. And it wasn't lost on the founders. Could we pull up this slide from George Washington, the first president of the United States? Let's read this. George Washington said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. So first, acknowledge Him. Second, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor." That's what we are trying to do, Pastor George, on this show this morning. Yes.
Buddy, I really like what she said. We are the difference makers.
Absolutely.
We make the difference by going to the polls and voting.
And she talked about a really key subject that we will influence, and that is judges. You know, we said this is kind of the Cliff Notes version. We spent an entire day, I think, with Congresswoman Vaughman, as well as with Paula White, the week that she was on here, talking about this concept of judges and how important they are. Not only the Supreme Court, which is what we think of most of the time. Now, that's a very, very important court, and the president appoints them, and they're appointed for life. But all of these circuit court judges all around the country, the vast majority of cases that ever go to court are settled in district circuit courts, okay, like the Eastern District of Texas. Even if you appeal that, you appeal to the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans. So the vast majority of cases never make it to the Supreme Court, and that's why it is so vitally important. Now, how does that impact this election? It's because every single federal judge that the president nominates has to be approved by the Senate, and it takes... It takes 51 votes to have a majority, but it takes, under the rules of the Senate currently, I take that back. It only takes 51 votes. In fact, this is a good point. We'll talk about the filibuster maybe in another one of these segments.
Okay, good.
But the filibuster is a 60-vote threshold. Because the Republicans decided to do away with the filibuster when it came to judges, President Trump was able to get Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, able to get Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court, and able to appoint all of these other... federal judges all around the country.
Right.
And we've got to keep that going. If we lose one person, if we get down to 49 people in the Senate, that'll go away. Democrats won't approve any Republican-nominated judge.
She talked about the issues of same-sex marriage and things like that that are so important to us. And I'll just read this before we go to the break here. But this word from the Lord from Brother Copeland, it just keeps ringing in me. The Lord told him in 1998, "Those who vote for politicians knowing their immoral policies and platforms and illegal acts had better repent. They are partners with those politicians and will be responsible for every baby's death. You've taken the devil's part by not voting at all." You know, it is so crucial that we vote. And if you are registered to vote, you need to vote. If you haven't done it yet, you need to vote tomorrow. And if for some reason you have not registered, you just need to go before the Lord and say, "Father, forgive me for not doing that." And cast a vote by faith.
Absolutely.
and then the next time the election cycle comes around, then you get in there and vote. This is so crucial. It's so important. It is what we do. And the Lord has us in a place of being politically involved because it has everything to do with the Word of God. Today is Election Day. I'm here with Buddy Pilgrim. Buddy, welcome.
Thank you, Pastor.
Why is today so important to us all?
It is the day that if you haven't already voted, you get to cast your seed. And the majority of the people will actually vote on Election Day. So if you haven't voted yet, what I encourage you to do, finish watching this broadcast, as long as it's not at 7 o'clock at night, and go and vote right now. As soon as this is over. In fact, call a friend, call a neighbor, take somebody with you to vote. Your vote matters.
What we've been doing on these broadcasts yesterday and all this week is we're going back over some of the key points of our Faith for Our Nation broadcast with our various guests. And as you said, it's the Cliff Note version.
Yes, yes.
Of the broadcast.
You don't know what Cliff Notes are. It's the Reader's Digest version.
It's the Reader's Digest version.
Absolutely.
And so some very important things that we're reviewing that David Barton said, Bishop Butler, Michelle Bachman, Paula White Cain. And today what we want to look at right now is a very important scripture talking about when the righteous rule, the people will rejoice. And this is so crucial. And you and I have a part of making that happen.
Absolutely.
When we go to the polls, we vote for righteousness. So take a look at Paula White Cain and we'll be right back.
Well, God has blessing for our nation.
Yes.
God has good things for us. And we know very much when the righteous reign and rule, we live in peace and prosperity and the goodness of God. When the wicked rule, we are going to get set back. It is our responsibility to not just have faith, but it is by our acts of faith that we are creating history. I think if the church is the church, when God said in His Word what we were to do with the poor, the widow, with everyone else, I think if we become responsible people, responsible families, responsible churches, and do what we are to do.
A lot less poor.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. God's Word works. It is not the government's job for us to feel an entitlement of, you take care of my bills. Because when they have that power, they have power over
That's
everything
exactly
else.
Right.
What responsibility you and I have. And something that we've been talking about, what is at stake at this in this time and in this election, buddy? Why is it so important in the midterm election that we vote?
Let's talk about, in fact, who all we're going to vote for.
Yeah.
There are 435 members of the House of Representatives. Those are allocated according to the population throughout all the states of the United States, all the various states, and all 435 members of the House of Representatives are up for election every 2 years, so they're all up this year. The Senate, the other electoral body in Washington, D.C., there are 100 senators, two from each state. They represent the states regardless of the population. One-third of the Senate is up every 2 years, so that would be 33. Plus, we have two special elections. So we have 35 senators, 435 House members. But in addition to that, there are governor's elections. There are state and local House state senates, state legislatures, whatever your particular state may call their legislative body. All of those are up for election all across the country. There may be other initiatives that are on the ballot, mayoral initiatives, school boards, all of these matter. And the thing that I think is so important is that you remember to vote what we call all the way down the ballot. So the top one on your ballot may be the U.S. Senate race and then the House of Representatives. But below that, there are a whole bunch of others. And vote these values all the way down the ticket.
That's right. And that's why this is so important, because in the midterm elections, traditionally, there are not near as many people that vote during that time as they have during the presidential.
That's right. David Barton did a great job in the clip that we showed yesterday. Again, this Cliff Notes version of laying out the statistics on that. Roughly 25% of the population is going to vote in this election. That's a small percentage of the people. So your vote has the potential to have what I call an exponential or a multiplied effect in this election, if you'll go and cast it, because 3/4 of the people are going to set home. So Christians, there are enough evangelical Christians in this nation, Pastor George, to affect the outcome of every single election and affect it in the right way.
There's an awakening taking place, and this awakening is much bigger than we think.
Yes.
It's an awakening to God, but it's also an awakening that's taking place first in the church, and then it's taking place in government. But we're waking up to something. And I think President Trump has helped us to do that by really taking the muzzle off of the preachers and saying, you guys need to express what you believe.
Now, that's a good point that you brought up, and it leads back to your original question, what's at stake? President Trump has issued an executive order to the Treasury Department, that is the taxing authority in this country, to not pursue what's called the Johnson Amendment. The Johnson Amendment, passed by Lyndon Johnson when he was a senator from Texas back in the 1950s, essentially muzzled the mouth of anyone once they'd become a pastor or a minister. Well, he took that off, said, don't do that anymore, let them go, because he knew that we still have freedom of speech even though we become pastors. That needs to become law, though, to do away with the Johnson Amendment. It was passed as a law. It's suspended now through an executive order, and we need a House of Representatives and a Senate that will pass into law so it stays there permanently, that the government can no longer come against you and I just because we're ministers.
That's why we have to keep the House and the Senate in order to see legislation like that go through. You know, I had such an awakening myself during one of the broadcasts some years ago with David Barton when he started talking about how important it was for pastors and ministers, because at the founding of our nation, that's where direction was coming from the pulpit. And so David is so good about talking concerning the fact that government is of God. The devil would try to lie and keep us out of it. We need to stay in it. Watch David Barton.
It's a real clear thing that if you go through the scriptures and you take Genesis, because Genesis is called the seed plot of the Bible.
Amen. Yeah.
Every
That's
single
right.
doctrine in the Bible has its roots in Genesis.
That's right.
So
yes.
when you look, God first creates the individual, Adam. Then He creates the family, Adam, Eve, children. Then He creates civil government in Genesis 9. He doesn't even create the church till you get to Exodus. So as you look at institutions, the first institution is family. Second institution, He created civil government before He created church. Yeah. That's why we have passages in Jude and in Romans and in 1 Peter and elsewhere where it says God is the one who ordains civil government.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, you say, all right, government's of God. Here I live in America or whatever nation you're in. Say, okay, what kind of government do I have here? And the Bible shows seven different forms of government. Our form of government in America is what we call a Republican form of government, small r, which means we do Exodus 18:21. We choose out our own leaders of tens, fifties, hundreds, and we elect local, county, state, federal. Okay, so if government's ordained of God, and that is the government God has ordained in America, what God has said is, it's my government, I'm putting you in charge of it until I get back.
That's right.
And that's Luke 19:13.
Right.
So you don't get to choose, oh, I don't think I'm going to participate in this. No, He put you as a steward over it. And if you look at Luke 19, Matthew 25, the steward that didn't do anything with what he was given is the one who got in trouble.
Yep.
And so we in this government, it's not optional for a Christian to participate. We are stewards. God ordained it. Yep. He said, you got Luke 19:13, He said, I want you to occupy till I come. I want you to take care of this till I get back. So that's His directive. So I don't like the candidates. I'm not going to vote. Not an option. You will vote, and you will choose, even if they're not the best candidates, you choose the best of the two candidates. You always stop the most wickedness you can.
Boy, David Barton does such a terrific job of laying that out,
Pastor really
George.
Does.
You know, I want to read a scripture out of Exodus because it's one that he alluded to, but he didn't read it. Moreover, you shall select from among all of the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. That's Exodus 18:21, and it tells us we have a responsibility to select these leaders, and it does talk about three different levels of government there. So we've got local, state, and federal government. We need to be involved in every single aspect of this election and put the best person on the ballot. Now, that goes to this issue that we've talked about from time to time. Are we trying to defend the behavior of an individual or the behavior of one particular man? Some people don't like the way President Trump tweets or anything like that. Now, he's not on the ballot today, but people who will support him are on the ballot.
Right.
This is not about a man. It's about a set of principles.
It is. It is. Well, we have our platforms right here, and we know what President Trump stands for, especially where Christians are concerned. And he's brought great liberty to us through the initiatives, as well as moving the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That was major.
Absolutely.
That was huge, because it's been promised over all of these years by different presidents. This is the man that made it happen. And he really did invoke the blessing upon our nation.
Yes.
And I want to see, there are other things that are sitting in the House right now, sitting in the Senate right now, that need to be moved through, and we can make a difference.
Absolutely.
We are, well, Michelle Bachmann said it best. She said, we are difference makers. Buddy, I've seen research before on various elections through the year and how one vote or two votes or a margin of a vote has made the difference in the outcome of an election.
Absolutely.
And we've seen it over and over and over again about how people have shirked their responsibility, thinking to themselves, well, what difference do I make? What difference do I make in this election? Well, you and I have talked about how many people don't vote.
That's right.
During an election. Well, we can step up to the plate. Like you were talking about the Christians, and if the Christians would vote. I mean, if
we would just turn out the church. I've often talked about this concept of community organizing. President Obama was known as a community organizer.
Right, right.
And he community organized by creating coalitions, a coalition of black versus white, rich versus poor, worker versus employer, those kinds of coalitions. And then he would go after each one, encourage them to vote.
Right.
The largest coalition in the history of mankind already exists. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. And in fact, we're already organized, and we don't need a community
exactly
organizer to organize
right.
us. We meet every week.
Yeah.
And if we just vote the values that we learn about in our basic teaching in church,
right.
we'd change the course of this
right.
nation permanently.
And Brother Copeland has talked before about how the church is the most powerful entity that there is
yes.
on earth.
Amen.
And we can literally, with our faith, move mountains. So Michelle really brought this out to us, the phrase, be a difference maker. You are a difference maker. Watch what Michelle has to say.
Do we want to be America, the greatest military and economic superpower of the world, or do we want to be Venezuela, where people are literally eating out of garbage cans? You say, Michelle, are you crazy? That would never happen in the United States. Venezuela in 1940 was, the second highest standard of living in the world.
Yeah.
Nations
mm-hmm.
can change.
Mm-hmm.
If they embrace godly values, they will be blessed. If they embrace unbiblical, atheistic values, which is represented by the new Democrat yeah. Socialist platform, yeah. they will not be blessed. That's how serious this is, and that's why the difference makers in this country, the believers,
makers.
The evangelical Christians
yes.
who came out
yes.
and made all the difference in 2016, 2018 is equally as precious and important, and we need them to get out and vote
yeah.
in the
yes.
Senate
we
and the House.
We have
yeah.
to maintain these majorities in the House and the Senate. Because not only will they go after Trump to try to impeach him, and that's what they're using as part of the issue to stir up the base and get them excited. That's why they villainized President Trump so severely, so that they can get people whipped up in this frenzy and get them to go out to vote. And that's why it's so important that all of you listening today make sure that you stay just as committed to go out and vote in November of this year as
yep.
well. We absolutely have to turn out. Somebody say, well, even if they were to impeach Trump, which I don't think they will, but even if they did, well, Vice President Pence would become president, so we're still okay. No, we're not still okay, because they would have taken over the House and taken over the Senate, and they will stop all of the legislation, yeah. the positive legislation that's been moving us forward in the last couple of years.
Because
this
the way our
so
government
important.
Works, we're a divided government, three parts. You have an executive, the president, you have the Congress that passes the laws, and then you have the Supreme Court. The president can't do everything on his own. He has to have a Congress that he can work with. Today, we have a Republican House and a Republican Senate, and we can get more Republicans in the House and more godly men and women in the Senate if people come yeah. out and vote, if our difference makers yeah. are salt and light in this yeah. nation. Isn't it amazing how God has sprinkled believers all across this nation to be salt and light?
He
we
really
don't have
has.
To be everybody, but yeah. if we show up and vote, then every election we can win with biblical candidates.
Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth.
Yes.
You are the light of the world. And it has everything to do with what we do in our nation.
It does, and it requires us to have some understanding of what the differences are between the two parties.
Yeah.
She talked about the concept of, do we want to be the United States of America, or do we want to end up like Venezuela? Well, Venezuela is a socialist country, and it is in economic chaos right now.
Right.
It's hard to believe, but they've been saying 1,000,000% inflation. 1,000,000% annual inflation. Because these socialist policies down there have taken away the rights of the people, and they take away free enterprise so yeah. that products and goods and services aren't provided to the people. We don't want to head in that direction, but Pastor George, many in the Democrat Party today are actually running on a socialist platform.
Right.
They are literally right. claiming to be, well, I'm a Democrat socialist. And that is so wrong. You've done such a terrific job of examining the two platforms and going through point by point and showing the differences
between
these
though,
parties.
Interesting, though. This platform, this Democratic platform, it seems to be actually shifting and changing and moving more to the left, literally.
Get that thing away from me.
Okay. We're seeing this introduction of socialism, and people are buying it.
They buy it because it sounds good, and it is what we call a utopian promise.
Yeah.
Now, there's no such thing as utopia. Heaven's going to be better than utopia, but there is no utopia here on earth.
Right.
And they promise this thing of you're going to get everything for free. You can get free college. You can get your student loans paid off. You can get free food. You can get free housing. Those people who measure your success in life, or the success of government, I should say, by how much it does for the people, when you measure it that way, you're essentially measuring it by how much freedom
right.
you take away from the people.
Right.
And Jesus came to set the captives free.
That's it right there. That's it. You know, I was reading a USA Today article, actually it was an op-ed, by a Democrat who was very concerned about the direction that their party was moving. And they were talking about the fact that their relatives, their family, were under the Castro socialism rule. And they did everything they could to get out of it. And it deeply concerns them that their party is moving towards that direction. Yeah. And that's what's happening.
That's where it's taking place. There's no doubt that's where it's headed. Bernie Sanders was a Democrat socialist. They've got Democrat socialists that are running in congressional races around the country. And in fact, they even say if the Democrats were to take over the House of Representatives, and I don't believe that's going to be the case, that Nancy Pelosi is not liberal enough.
Right.
A San Francisco liberal is not liberal enough for the Democrat Party today.
You know, buddy, the administration we have in there right now is Christian friendly, is
yes.
church friendly. And we had Bishop Keith Butler on with us, and he was talking about this First Amendment stance, this freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And we're finding a place where we are right now where I don't think we've ever been quite like this, maybe in the early years of our nation.
Yeah.
But there's an emboldenedness that's coming from us to be able to declare our First Amendment stance. Take a look at what Brother Keith Butler has to say.
In the context that I'm talking about this, again, is going back to whether or not believers are forced to have to support with their seed things that are opposite the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Things like being forced to have support, abortion rights, and that you must give your tax money to do such a thing et cetera. It goes also back to free speech and freedom and liberty. It goes back to the First Amendment, respecting the right of religion and its free exercise. When you have individuals that cannot, a guy owns a business, or you're a businessman, a guy owns a business and he believes and has raised his family that he believes what the Bible says about a man and a woman being married. Mm-hmm. And so they don't want to participate. They're not saying you can go do whatever you want. But we don't want to participate in that, and you can have your business taken from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? You can lose your business. Okay? You can be sanctioned. You can be driven out of business based on social policy. That's religious freedom, religious liberty, and Christians should not be quiet about this matter.
That's right.
Okay? Not only should we not be quiet about this matter, we need to know what every single politician, where do you stand on this?
Yeah.
Force them to have to take a position on these kind of issues. That's something we ought to know. Why should someone, I've read many cases of this, I'm sure you can mm-hmm. probably cite some off the top of your head.
Yeah.
Many cases of individuals done the right thing, played by the rules, paid their taxes, did everything supposed to do. But because they saw in the Word of God they cannot support this, they have their entire lives destroyed by the state. Once again, who did you vote for?
Yeah.
Did you vote for politicians that put the government ahead of God? And just like in Germany, it always goes back to World War II, too. Just because something's not happening to you now doesn't mean they won't come for you later.
That's absolutely right. That's why each of us have to cast our vote now.
That's
because
right.
if we don't stand up for what we believe in today, there's not anybody else that's going to stand up for it. And there are a lot of people out there, Pastor George, that are trying to force their beliefs on us, and not only force their beliefs on us, but literally take away our belief,
right.
our right to exercise free speech and to exercise our faith. Sometimes people talk about falsely that in the Constitution, it yeah. gives us a right to worship or a freedom to worship. That's yes. not what it says.
Yes.
It says the free exercise of our religion. And that means we get to carry our beliefs into the public square. And Bishop Butler did such a terrific job of addressing the issue on that clip that you heard just now. You know, we could be forced to support abortion. Well, we don't believe in abortion because we know that abortion is the taking of the life of a child just prior to its birth.
Right.
And that's
right.
wrong. It takes away the freedom of speech. It takes away this issue of we have the right to believe that marriage is between one man and one woman because marriage was an institution not created by government but created and ordained by God.
Yes.
We need to hold on to those.
Yeah. Well, I see from what Bishop Butler was saying, and he ended that with talking about World War II and you know, they can come back and take it away again. Well, they're not going to. Why? Because the church is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And we've had a taste of freedom.
Yes, we have.
And that freedom tastes good.
And today is Election Day.
Yep.
So if you haven't voted already and it's not that the polls haven't closed in your particular area, leave, go vote right now, call a friend, call a neighbor, take them with you, vote all the way down the ballot. And frankly, I have to tell you, if you're going to vote all the way down the ballot, you just need to pull the straight ticket for the Republican. I wish there were Democrats out there that were in favor of traditional marriage, that were in favor of abortion, I mean in favor of life instead of abortion. I haven't found them yet. Though, even the Democrats that I've found who say, well, personally, I'm in favor of life, but policy-wise, I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't compute. I can't say, you know, personally, I'm in favor of you not killing your kid, but legally, if you want to, that's okay.
Buddy, there's something special that happens when you go to the poll. I experience it every time. Mm. The presence of God is there because I'm doing something. I'm being obedient to what He's called me to do. And when I go into that voting booth, I spend time in prayer. I spend time praying in the Holy Spirit, praying over each and every person that's on that ballot, the people that I vote for and the people that I don't vote for. And the thing that I experience the most is the freedom that we've been given in this nation that so many other nations do not have. They do not have the freedom to vote. They do not have the freedom to go to the polls and to express what they believe. You and I do. And we can never allow that freedom that we have to slip from us, or we become so familiar that we say, well, I'll just skip this election. No, that's not what we do. Jesus will meet you at the polls. And I would dare say that He'll talk to you in that sacred place. The elections are now over.
Yes.
However, we pre-taped this before the elections. So at this moment in time, we don't know exactly what took place. But what do we believe that took place?
Well, you know, we've been praying for good results. And I tell you what, the focus of today's program and Thursday and Friday's program is what do you do regardless of the outcome?
Exactly.
Now we're still standing in faith
exactly.
that we're going to hold a Republican House and Republican Senate, have the support for President Trump and the initiatives that he's launched that align with our core beliefs right here.
Yep.
But there are many things that we as Christians need to stay engaged in regardless of the outcome.
Exactly.
And if you'll allow me, I want to read a couple of things here that kind of give us a little bit of insight to how deep our history, our faith-based history is in this country. I read this when we were in the sessions with Paula White a couple of weeks ago or a week ago. This is from Charles Finney. Charles Finney was a Presbyterian pastor. And in fact, I tell you what, I'm going to hold this till we come back for a longer segment.
Okay.
I want to hear from Brother Copeland first before I read this.
You know, when you're talking about the outcome of an election, whether you like it or not, we have to have faith in God.
If you're going to talk about faith, you have to talk about Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24, because that's Jesus' words on faith. And it doesn't get any better than that. Highest authority there is. All right. Jesus said, have faith in God. And you remember we were talking last week, we talked about having faith in the God that's on the inside. Amen. Have faith in God. Well, Jesus, what about the economy? Have faith in God. Yeah, but I got the worst mess anybody ever saw. Have faith in God. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Have faith in God. I don't care what it is. Two things. Number one, we know He can fix it. Number two, it is His will to fix it. Amen. Number three, you're going to have to get out of the way. Because you done tried to fix it and you can't. You ought to know that by now. Amen. Particularly, the more you fixed at it, the worse it got. Why? Because you're working at it from a fear base. Well, if it's based in fear, that's one of the problems in the first place. Fear is a destroyer.
Right.
All right. Praise God. Now, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Praise God.
So no matter what happens, what do, buddy? We have faith in God. That is a statement that we stand on, that we believe, no matter what is taking place and no matter what it looks like, whether we've won all of this or whatever takes place, we stand on the Word of God. We believe the Word of God.
Absolutely.
And there are ways to be able to get things accomplished supernaturally in our nation to keep us on the track that God wants us to be on.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've heard Brother Copeland teach so many times when he'd say, somebody says, well, what if my healing doesn't come right away?
Have faith in God.
Well, what if I don't see these symptoms go away right? Stand in faith. Have faith in God. Just stay in faith. Keep believing. Keep praying.
Yep.
Don't give up.
Yep.
And that is so important for us to do with respect to our country. And frankly, I was thinking about this just a minute ago. Even if the results of the election today were exactly what we wanted,
mm-hmm. have faith in God.
Yeah. That's no time to sit back and say,
exactly.
Wow. Well, we won it.
I'm glad you said that.
We can quit now.
I'm glad you said that. Because we have to stand vigilant.
Yes.
We have to keep the pressure on, because there are forces, if you will, out there that are trying to drive our nation one way. We are wanting it to go God's way. So we have to really be on our toes, on our faith, and engaged all the time.
You know, in fact, we've gotten to the point where we are in our country having, in many ways, gotten away from God, because we as the Christian community probably didn't stand as firm as we needed to for as long as we needed to, because the roots of this nation were founded based on Judeo-Christian principles. And many of the founding fathers were pastors. Many of the people involved in the revolution were pastors. Many of the people who took positions of power in government in the founding early days of this nation were Christians, were pastors as well.
Yes.
And here's something I referred to just a minute ago. Charles Finney, a Presbyterian pastor in the 1790s. And this is what he said, "Brethren, our preaching will bear its legitimate fruits." In other words, you kind of reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've heard that before, haven't we?
We really have.
If immorality prevails in the land, the fault is ours in a great degree.
Yes.
If there is decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press, the media, lacks moral discrimination, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in religion, the pulpit is responsible for it.
Wow.
And let me say this. He's talking specifically about pastors, but you know what? We're all priests.
Yes, we are.
We are. So we
That's right. Every one of us,
whether you're actually literally a pastor of a church as you are or an ordained minister as I am, it doesn't matter. We all have a responsibility to influence society and influence our government as
well. That's exactly right. And as a pastor, and I speak to the pastors who are watching us right now, it is our responsibility to use that pulpit for a righteous purpose, to communicate to our congregation the principles of the Word of God that we stand on, whether it's pro-life or Israel or religious freedom or any of these areas where same-sex marriage is concerned. All of this, the power of the Word of God being delivered from the pulpit, that's God ordained to help our nation, to keep our nation in line.
You know, what we're going to continue talking about for the last 3 days of this week are the ways that we should stay involved to continue impacting our government and our culture. And those two things go together. That's what Charles Finney's talking about right here. Right. He's talking about influencing your government and influencing the culture around you. And those two influence each other as well. And we've got a book that should influence our decisions, every one that we make. Right. So we need to let that pour out into everything else that we do.
You know, it's interesting, buddy, that where I grew up in Massachusetts, on Cape Cod, where the Pilgrims first landed.
Yeah.
Actually, our home that I grew up in bumped right up against Cape Cod Bay. Oh. And Cape Cod Bay, they landed at first in Provincetown, at the very tip of Cape Cod. And that's where they wrote the Mayflower Compact. And it was at that place that they dedicated this nation to the glory of God. It began right there. And then they sailed past my house. And I watched them go up towards Plymouth. And then they finally landed at Plymouth. And from that point on, it was for the religious freedom. The purpose they came here was for their religious freedom.
That's right.
And they had to fight for that. They had to fight every inch of the way for that. And that's the kind of thing that you and I have to continually maintain and be vigilant about.
Yeah. You know, the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. He never lets up. He's relentless in his fight, and we've got to be relentless in standing firm, regardless of the outcome of the election, whether it's what we wanted or not what we wanted.
And God has not forgotten this land. He's not forgotten the United States of America. You need to listen to what Brother Copeland has received from the Lord about this and be encouraged about we're not going down, we're going up.
Amen.
Take a look at this.
I've heard some of my people say, has God forgotten the United States? We are the ones that preach the gospel around the world when nobody would. No, I haven't forgotten the United States, saith the Lord. I know where my bread's been buttered. I haven't forgotten the United States. There's great revival all over the world. Ah, but I've saved the best for last for my darling. I've saved the best for last for my lover. And you are my darling, saith the Lord. And I have something in store for you that is far beyond anything the angels have ever heard of. Oh, you better hold on, because you ain't seen anything yet, saith God. Woo, glory.
Boy, how terrific that is, a word from Brother Copeland. And September the 11th, 1993, is a very special date, September the 11th, 8 years before the attack on this country came.
That's right.
What struck me the most when I first saw that clip of Brother Copeland, obviously I could tell it several years ago, this is a man who has been consistent year after year after year.
Yes.
His interest in politics, his interest in the fate of this nation and in Christians taking a stand for righteousness in this nation is not something that just came about in the last year or two.
Mm-mm.
It's been around for years.
It really has, and he's been standing, we've been standing, and I've collected all of those words from the Lord. I'm a collector of fine documents of this ministry, and I have collected through the years all of the various words from the Lord about our nation. And through thick and thin, through a democratic regime to a Republican regime, I mean, we've been standing. We've been standing fast. And we finally have reached a place, a place on the mountain in this nation that we have never been in before.
Yeah.
And how the Lord has brought us here, and how important it is for us to continue this stance. You know, oftentimes after an election, people go, phew, and then it's back to our normal lives. But really, it can't be.
It can't be. We've got to stay engaged, and in a variety of different ways. I think you've heard me tell this story before, Pastor George, but the first time I ever met Kenneth Copeland face-to-face. Now, I'd been a partner with this ministry for years. We'd gone to Southwest Believers and set up in the nosebleed section, eventually sat down a little lower. But we'd been following this ministry, and it had changed my life. I never had any expectation that I would ever meet Kenneth Copeland, much less get to know him. But the first time I ever saw him face-to-face was at a political event. I walked in the door, got there early. Yeah, of course, Brother Copeland, yeah, you know, never arrives anywhere late.
Right.
In fact, he never arrives on time. He always arrives early. And so I arrived early that day, and I look across the room, and there are Kenneth and Glory Copeland sitting there. And that's a testimony, and that's about the time that this clip that we just showed took place. That's a testimony to how deeply he walks out everything that he teaches.
Right.
We could learn something from that.
Right, exactly. Well, he has stayed steady on this where our nation is concerned. Loves this nation.
Yes.
Loves this nation. And it was actually, this America was begun because of a people who loved God.
Yeah.
He's talked about this before. Israel was started as a nation because of the love that God had for Israel. But this nation was begun, the roots of it came from the love that the people, the hunger, the pilgrims that came.
Yes.
To have that religious freedom, a place where they could freely worship God. And we're in the midst of this awakening right now.
Yes, it is an awakening. And we've got to keep this country awake. There are so many other nations around the world that have pulled back. And as a result of that, they've lost their religious freedom.
Right.
Canada, for example, it's against the law in Canada to preach many of the things that are literally in the Bible.
Yes.
It's illegal to preach them there. It's illegal in England to preach some of these things. We've talked about the fact that some of these broadcasts that we do, because we have freedom of speech in the United States, can't be broadcast in some other countries across the world.
Right.
It's just not allowed.
And now in California, where the Bible is concerned, and it being connected with hate speech, we have our job ahead of us, the things that we need to do. And tell them very quickly, buddy, you have been involved in the political arena. You've been involved in the business arena, the ministry arena, and the political arena, really, literally, all at the same time.
Well, because I believe the calling on my life is to apply God's Word to the workplace.
Yeah.
And part of the workplace is the political workplace. See, the workplace, it's a workplace. It doesn't matter whether you work in a church, whether you work in a ministry, whether you work in a factory, work in a chicken company, or whether you work in a political office or work in a political campaign. It's all the workplace. And this book right here is the best business workplace textbook there is.
Yep.
And the principles that are in this book need to guide every single aspect of our decision, of our life. We can't compartmentalize our life into, you know, faith-oriented issues, prayer and Bible study and worship, and going to Sunday school and going to church, and then everything else.
But Washington, they can do what they want to do.
It doesn't work that way.
You know, buddy, back in September, we had Paula White Cain here at the church, and what a time we had, whether in the church service and then also in the tapings that we did following that. But on that day in September, Brother Copeland got up to speak, and a powerful word from the Lord came from him concerning the nation and concerning the future of the United States of America. And I want you to see this. This will stir you to the core. Take a look.
I heard the Lord say, all that you're seeing now are birth pangs to the rebirth of this nation. He said, do you think that George Washington, John Adams, and the all of the framers of the Constitution, do you think they had any idea what this nation was going to look like in 100 years? Of course not. There'd never been a nation like it before in the history of the planet. Well, saith the Lord, that same way, you have no idea what this nation's going to look like when I get done with it, saith the Lord. Oh, my time has come. I've taken over the politics of this nation. It belongs to me, saith God Almighty. Hallelujah. This is the only nation, saith Jesus of Nazareth, that was formed for the specific purpose of worshiping me because they love me. I created the nation of Israel because I love them. But this nation was created because you love me, and I will never forget it.
See, even God is involved in our nation, giving words from heaven in direction to the nation. He said something there about the new birth. And, buddy, we were on the set on Tuesday, November the 4th, 2014, during the elections. And again, he began to speak by the Spirit of God very much the same way as he did here. But I sensed that we needed to go over this one again. He said, I have a new birth for this nation. I have planned a nation that right at this moment, you really don't have any concept of what it's like. Think about that, buddy. That was 2014. That was before Mr. Trump went into office. We were still in another administration at that time. And he said, I've got a new birth for this nation, and you have no idea what it's going to look like.
Yes.
How I can remember getting up in the pulpit and starting to say things political and think to myself, I have got to be so careful about what I say.
Oh.
We would hardly touch on those things. Yeah. We'd hardly go to those things. And the Lord continued to say, for think back on 1770 and 71 and 72 and 1773, and a new nation was being born, but you do not think that the men of that hour had any concept of what this nation would look like 100 years from that time? No, they had no idea. It never happened before. Now listen to this. Hear my words, America. I have a new nation in my heart and in my mind, and you don't know what it looks like. The door is open. Step through it, and together we'll bring a new nation on this earth, one nation under God that trusts God. And we're living in that right now.
Absolutely.
We're living in the new birth for America. We're living in a time where there is such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we've not seen before, and such a freedom for us, for preachers, to be able to freely declare the Word of God from our pulpits about the political realm.
Absolutely. The door is open for a new awakening to take place in this nation. There have been several great awakenings in this nation. The first was centered around the time that Finney, as I read a minute ago, in the late 1700s, was present. Then there was a great awakening at Azusa Street. Okay, it's time for another great awakening today.
Yes, it is.
And that's how we've changed the course of this nation. And part of what we've got to do is understand the issues, regardless of the election outcome that just took place. You need to stay involved. You need to stay engaged. You need to learn what kind of legislation is down the pipeline that somebody's trying to pass, and whether it's good or bad, whether it aligns with God's Word or whether it's antithetical to God's Word. Mm-hmm. And then do things like this. Call your senators. Call your congressmen. It is amazing, Pastor, the impact that an individual can have with just a phone call.
It really is. And how an organization can have an impact like Christians United for Israel. This ministry, and Pastor Terry and I, we are actually the state directors for the state of Texas in Christians United for Israel. That's John Hagee's organization. And we were there 14 years ago when it first started. 400 people in the room. We flew down to San Antonio and listened to the vision that John Hagee had to stand for Israel. And it was shortly thereafter, that summer, that we went to Washington for the first time and we had our Night to Honor Israel. And then we went and we visited every senator. Well, I say every, some of them wouldn't have us at the time, to stand for Israel. And we had our talking points. Now, 14 years later, that organization is over 4 million strong. And every year we go to the Hill and we've had more and more support. Yeah. And I remember the first politician that came to speak to us, because we could hardly get anybody to come speak to us in Washington. The very first politician was John McCain that came and spoke. I believe he was running for president at the time. And he came and he spoke to us about support for Israel. And then all of a sudden, it was like the floodgates were open. The politicians are lining up. And on one of the days that we were there, I was thinking about it backstage. And here's Lindsey Graham. I mean, I'm like from here to there to Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz. All of these senators are coming to give their support for Israel. And that one organization has made a tremendous, I would say, the most significant difference where the support of Israel is concerned. For instance, Mike Pence came to speak last year as a keynote speaker for the Christians United for Israel, Night to Honor Israel.
Yes.
And evidently, he must have gone right back to the White House, reported to Mr. Trump, And the next night, John Hagee and his family were invited to the White House to have dinner with the president. And John Hagee had the opportunity to sit before him and give him advice about what to do concerning Israel.
So because of CUFI,
yep,
and their involvement,
yep,
a pastor from Texas got to sit with the president of the United States and influence his thinking, mm-hmm, and his policy on the nation, mm-hmm, of Israel and our relationship with it.
And a little fellow like me, yeah, who born in New York, raised in Massachusetts, got to greet the likes of Senator Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz and all of these men and women who many of them are believers.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about that more. We want to show you, we're showing various clips to really encourage you about our nation. In this particular one, this was a word from the Lord to Brother Copeland about great change coming to our nation. And my goodness, have we seen great change. I've got the transcript of it right here. And I was just reading it the other day and seeing what has taken place from the time he gave this in 2016. This was July before the election. And the things that have taken place, the new freedoms that we've experienced, and what's taking place in our nation. Take a look at this, and then Buddy and I will be right back with you.
Pray, hold fast before me. Great changes are coming in the United States. For I have heard the prayers of my people. And I am moving now, healing this land, saith the Lord. Things are changing. Some things are going to happen between now and election time. Pay attention. Pay attention to the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Hold fast to the truth, not the news broadcast. I said change is coming. And I'm not talking about just the natural, flow of things. There are going to be changes in political parties. There's going to be changes here and changes there. And nothing is like it looks now. The awakening is here. It is here. It isn't coming. It is here. And the more you pray, the more it'll increase. I'm not done with the United States. This is my country. I built it. I bought and paid for it. It is mine.
What a stunning word.
Yes.
You know, we were on the broadcast with Paula White Cain the last 2 weeks. And we were privy to some information that she had from the White House. Of course, she's the spiritual advisor to the, yes, president, and she's with him quite a bit. And she gets her daily reports, yep, and the things that are accomplished, the things that have been accomplished in this administration. And Buddy, there is so much that has taken place.
You don't hear about it in the news.
You really don't. No. You really don't. This word that Brother Copeland brought, it means so much more to us now than ever, that great change has come to our nation.
And it's funny, I was sitting here thinking about this. Of course, we said we were recording this just a few days before the election,
right,
so we don't know the results. Of course, Brother Copeland recorded that in 2016, long before the election.
Long before the election took place.
He knew
place.
The results. So.
He really did, by the Spirit of God.
It was a prophetic word,
yeah,
about the course of this nation, and it's come true. We've seen tremendous changes, positive changes since 2016.
Right.
And we've got to continue those changes. And every single person of faith out there has to remain diligent. You have to remain faithful in every aspect of your faith. You know, not just political, but in all the ways that we,
right,
walk with the,
right,
Lord. But so often it's easy to set aside the political. Well, that's an earthly thing. Well, you've heard the old saying, you can get so spiritually minded, you're of no earthly good. I don't know if I can fully get that. If I'm that spiritually minded, hopefully I'll still be some earthly good.
Yeah, right.
But I understand,
right,
the point they're trying,
right,
to make when they say that. There's faith without works is dead. There are things we've got to do, and there are things that we need to continue to do to keep ourselves educated right. on the issues and involved in the issues, regardless of the outcome of any specific election.
Now, considering one of the issues that we're talking about, and I want you to address this on the broadcast. You again, Buddy, is so involved politically. I mean, you have helped campaigns, Ted Cruz's campaign. You're right there on the front when it comes to that. And you are also in Washington, D.C. with a group of ministers talking about this pain-capable bill. Explain yes. that to us. And that's this administration is pro-life.
I was. In September of 2017, I went to the White House with a group of evangelical leaders, pastors, ministers, and strong Christian business persons, and we met with the Trump administration to discuss what's called the pain-capable bill. Now, it gets that name because the bill defines or recognizes that science tells us that a baby that's in the womb that is 20 weeks or more of gestational age can feel pain just like you and I do. And that's really pushing it actually probably not as far as it needs to be. I think right. they can feel pain probably well before 20 weeks. Yeah. But it's easy to document that. So this is a bill that was proposed before Congress at that time that would outlaw abortions for any baby that is 20 weeks or more old in gestation. We yes. went to the White House September 2017. We met with the Trump administration. And I will tell you this. The Trump administration is filled with people who are pro-life.
Oh, that's wonderful.
There must have been 15 of them that met with us that day. And they came in person after person. Every one of them are committed
that's
to this.
Tremendous.
And here's what they said. They said, if you can get the Congress to pass this bill, we will commit to you that President Trump will sign it, because they had already talked to the president about it. So we left the White House that day and we went to Capitol Hill. We met with senators and we met with congressmen. We had yes. lunch with them there and yes. then we visited with them about this. And we got a commitment from many members of the House of Representatives that they would pass that bill. Within 2 weeks of when we were there, when the president made his commitment that if y'all will pass it, I'll sign it, the House of Representatives passed the pain-capable bill. Now, let me tell you how
Praise
important
God.
The pain-capable bill is. There are, I believe, 5,000, I've heard different numbers, but it's between 4,000 and 5,000 babies every month that are killed in the womb that are 20 weeks or more old. There was one on the news just a couple of weeks ago that was born at 22 weeks of age. Now, without the pain-capable bill, that mother could have chosen to have aborted, or let me just put it more plainly, to have killed that child at 22 weeks of age rather than letting it live. So this happens all the time where babies that young are born, and they live, and in fact it was in the news because it was being released from the NICU. So we were there. The president promised to sign it if the House and the Senate would pass it. The House passed it within 2 weeks. It went to the Senate, and then it just sat there. And the reason it sat there is because under the rules of the Senate, you have to have 60 votes to get a bill to the floor to vote on it. Now, right. 51 votes, 51 out of 100 will pass it, but you got to have 60 to get a vote on it. It's called cloture. Cloture is nothing more than an agreement to end debate
right.
on a topic.
Okay.
And there's not one single Democrat that would vote for cloture, because they were concerned if they voted to end debate that bill would pass. And frankly, it probably would have passed. And if it had passed, that was September of last year, 4,000 babies, 5,000 babies a month ever since then would have been saved. Now, for that reason, I believe we need to do away with the filibuster. We need to do away with the cloture
sure.
vote. Because
sure.
there may come a time, we don't know what the results were this past Tuesday, whether there are now 60 Republicans that are going to be put
right.
in office in
right.
January, or whether we still have 51 or 53 or 54 or whatever the number is. I believe you need to do away with that kind of bill with cloture and with a 60 vote majority for this reason. Some people argue, I don't know if that's politically wise. Well, how many babies' lives is it worth expending to do something that's politically wise?
Well, let's put it this way. While you were just talking, I was figuring this out. 5,000 babies average per month. That's roughly 167 babies a day.
Huh.
167 babies a day.
And
every day that goes by that we delay this or it gets held up.
That's right.
That's a travesty.
That's right. So whether we've got a 60-vote Republican majority right now or whether we've got 52 and we need to do away with cloture or whatever the number is, it's that number of babies every day. So here's what you need to do. Stay engaged. Call your senator. Tell your senator, get that bill to the floor and vote on it so that President Trump can sign it, because there is... It's not worth one baby's life to gain a political advantage on the other party by keeping cloture. It's outrageous.
That's ridiculous. And you know, the word is very clear about this abortion issue. I was reading a scripture before we went on the air to you. It's Psalm 78. And let me read down into the part I want to get to. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works which He has done. Now listen, for He's established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who shall arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of our God, but to keep His commandments."
Wow.
That statement there, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born.
I'd never heard that before you read it.
The children which should be born.
So that's why we have to stay engaged even after the election, because we can continue to influence things like this. We'll continue to talk about issues like this throughout the rest of this week.
And the power of staying engaged and the power of prayer and praying for our nation. We have to continue to pray for our nation, no matter who is in office and what is going on. Prayer is the foundation to every successful endeavor, and we must pray for our nation. Listen to this word from the Lord through Brother Copeland about praying for the nation. Amen.
"If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn," or repent, "from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, I will heal their land." If my people called by my name, which in the old covenant is 10 people called by my name, 10 righteous people could have saved Sodom and Gomorrah. But you're the righteousness of God, and you've got access to the whole throne. And it makes a difference. Now, in the old covenant, my people called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I will heal their land. And that in the old covenant takes 10. In the new covenant, it takes 2. 2. This is a better covenant established on better promises, and I want you to know, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we can get on our face, we can pray in the Spirit, we can take a stand, we can worship God until this thing turns around. Hallelujah.
We can pray until this thing turns around.
Absolutely.
Buddy, I had the opportunity earlier this year to go to Washington. Terry and I went to the president's prayer breakfast. And one of the things that I got out of that prayer breakfast is seeing all of the politicians who are believers. There's a lot.
There are a lot.
There are a lot of praying believers who are in office in our nation right now. I mean, you know some of them.
I know many of them, yes.
There are acquaintances of yours, and that you know for a fact that these people pray.
The course of this nation is being changed by these people that are finally having the option to stand up in prayer. Yep. Publicly. Yep. There are several things that are going on now, George. There's a pastor I know that leads a Bible study and a prayer meeting in the Capitol building every single week.
Wow.
The White House now has 9 members, I believe it is, of the President's Cabinet and Senior Administrative Staff that have a weekly Bible study in the White House. Mm-hmm. There's a pastor out of California. He's been involved politically for many, many years. His name's Jim Garlow. Jim's a very good friend of mine. He's a good friend of Brother Copeland's.
Right.
We ran into him in Washington, D.C. recently, Brother Copeland and I did. He's just started a prayer vigil in the State Department. And he said, let me tell you, that is a place that needs prayer. He said, you talk about a demon-filled place. there are some people in the State Department that need to be prayed for because there are demonic forces that come against this nation, come against the nation of Israel, who's an ally of ours, who we stand firm beside and stand firm with. We need prayer taking place in every one of those places. So we've got it going on in the White House. We've got it going on in Capitol Hill. We've got it going on in the State Department.
Yes, we do.
We need it going on in every part of government.
And it's growing. It's part of this awakening, the great awakening that's taking place. It's growing more and more and more. And we're seeing people in prominent positions. Again, I refer to Christians United for Israel, the John Hagee organization. And it was Tuesday morning. We had the Wednesday evening, the Monday evening, Night to Honor Israel. And then Tuesday morning is when we heard from all of the senators and the representatives. Then we would be given our talking points and then head to the Hill that later that day. Well, one senator after another representative, and you can tell, you can really tell if they're doing this because, you know, they're going to get more votes, or you can really tell the sincerity of individuals when you listen to them. But all of these people that came and spoke that day to us, they were sincere. They were praying people, praying believers. They talked about what they do in their prayer times in the morning. So if we have indeed people that are praying in Washington right now, and I happen to know of a particular woman who is a tremendous preacher, who is in the face of the president himself, Paula White Cain.
Absolutely.
Who is right there with the president praying with the president, praying. And she, I mean, this is no secret. She talked about it last week on the broadcast. She is so connected to that family. She's known them for 18 years.
You know, she told us about Trump, before he was President Trump, just Mr. Trump, calling her up to Trump Tower to pray about his decision whether or not to run for president. Said they prayed for, what did he say, 5 or 6 hours?
6 hours.
6 hours.
She brought a group of ministers with her.
Yes.
And prayed. They prayed for 6 hours.
Yes.
I remember when candidate Trump invited a group of ministers to Trump Tower. Now, were you with Brother Copeland that day?
Not the first time. Not at Trump Tower. No, sir.
And Paula was there.
Yes.
And she asked Brother Copeland to lay his hand on candidate Trump at the time. And Kenneth shares this, that he was actually praying out, and he didn't realize he was doing this, as if he were already president. And even at that time, Brother Copeland was still making, you know, decisions and so forth about the elections and all of that. But he's laying hands on him as if he's already the president. There's really something to say about a president who embraces and welcomes prayer.
That's right.
I was thinking about when Billy Graham, the first president that he went to see with his team, was Harry Truman. And so he went to Harry Truman's office. This is in the 40s, late 40s, when Billy Graham was just really starting out in the massive ministry that he had. And so he writes in his book, he talked about being in the president's office. And they said to the president, Mr. President, could we pray for you? And Harry Truman sat back and he said, well, I guess it won't hurt. Where I'm talking about a president who is calling for prayer.
Yes.
I mean, we're beyond, I guess it won't hurt. We're beyond that place of no prayer whatsoever. We're beyond that place of prayer being restricted and kept out. You've got to know this. Prayer is in the White House. Prayers in the State Department. Prayers in the executive offices.
You know, Paula White Cain told us time after time after time where President Trump, since he's been elected, has called on her to come in and pray about something, to be a part of a meeting that they were having there and lead a prayer time after time. And the other thing that I was there for, I wasn't at the Trump Tower prior to the election, but just recently, President Trump held the first ever in the history of this nation what was called a celebration of evangelical leadership. And he invited about 100 of us who he defined as evangelical leaders across the nation.
We'll show pictures
to have what is essentially a state dinner at the White House. It was held in the state dining room. President Trump and First Lady Melania were the hosts of it. Vice President Pence were there. Members of the cabinet were there. And it was 100 evangelical leaders from around the country. And I just think that's so special that this wasn't defined as a faith-based dinner, because there have been faith-based events at the White House before, and that meant multi-faith, multicultural. So you got to have a Hindu and a Buddhist and a Muslim and a Christian and a Jew and all of these different faith organizations. He said, I'm going to celebrate evangelical leadership in this country. He invited us there. He spoke a word or two. Paula prayed over the meal. And then you know what he did? He sat back and he said, tell you what, I want to hear from you. So I'm going to turn the floor over
listener.
To each of you.
He's a listener.
So for a president to turn a floor over to a room full of preachers.
That's a dangerous thing.
That's pretty significant. And he let us talk and share with him what's important to us. And one of the things, Paula knows him much better than I do. I've only met him maybe 3 or 4 times. She said he's a really good listener and he's interested in hearing from people. So we've got a man in the White House today that wants to hear from us. So one of the things you need to pray for is pray for those of us who are very politically involved and have access to presidents or senators or congressmen more directly than just calling their office on the phone, that we would be continually given open doors, that no person would interfere with that, because historically that's happened where presidents who were elected by the evangelical base had a gatekeeper that cut us off once they got in office. So you pray that we would continually have
that's
access
good.
And be able to speak that's in good. To these positions of power and influence.
It's so important in our nation to know that it's an awakening that will save our nation. So take a look at this word from Brother Copeland, and then Buddy and I will be right back.
This is the time that has been prophesied about. And at stake here is not only your welfare in the land, but also my move in the end times of a great awakening, saith the Lord. And it is that awakening that will save this land and others like it. For it is the time of the coming of the Lord, and you will rise up, and you will be my name, and you will be my power, and I will manifest myself through you, and many shall come and say, surely he is the God of all good. Hallelujah.
Wow, what a powerful word from Brother Copeland, I tell you. It's just amazing, George. You know, every time this nation has gone through a significant transition politically, it's originated in an awakening spiritually.
It really
and
has.
It's time for that to continue forward again.
Right.
I read earlier in the week some words from Charles Finney, a Presbyterian pastor in the 1790s. He was part of what was called the first Great Awakening in the United States. And I want to read that again because it should impact every one of us. We can relate to this today. Reverend Finney said this, "Brethren, our preaching will bear its legitimate fruits." In other words, you reap what you sow. "If immorality prevails in the land, the fault is ours in a great degree. If there is decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press, the media, lacks moral discrimination, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in religion, and in Christianity in particular, the pulpit is responsible for it." And here's what I would add to that, even though you might be saying a lot if I'm adding to Charles Finney's words.
Yeah.
He was actually talking to pastors when he said this.
Yeah.
This applies to the whole body of Christ, though, not just to people who are literally in the pastorate or are literally a minister. When the world begins to head down a road of decay, the church is the one that's responsible
that's
for
right.
it, because it means we're falling back on preaching the Word, teaching the Word, and standing for our beliefs in every aspect of our life. One time when I was in the chicken business, I had a man look at me, George, and he said, "Buddy, let me tell you something." and this man said he was a Christian, and that's fine. I'll take his word for that. He said, "God don't care about how many chickens you process. God cares about how many souls you save, because He don't care about the decisions in your business life. He cares about your spiritual life." And I thought about that for just a split second, and I said, that can't be true. Mm-hmm. Because you see, it's not possible for me to have
connected.
A spiritual life and a business life, a spiritual life and a political life, a spiritual life and a personal life,
yes.
a spiritual life and a family life.
Yeah.
I only have one life. It's my life in Christ.
That's right. That's right. And you know, you were talking about the pastors. I want to address the pastors for just a moment and the ministers, of which, of course, Buddy, you are. You're a consummate teacher of the Word of God. And I so enjoy listening to him. But we have a responsibility. Those of us who do stand behind that holy desk, we do have a responsibility in ministering this awakening to the people. It was a few years ago that we had a broadcast with David Barton. And of course, David was on set with us. He'd brought all of his information with him. But what really got to me, and I really started thinking about this, was he brought with him these different copies of sermons. The sermons that were being preached at the time of our founding fathers. And they were addressing issues. They were addressing all kinds of political issues. They were addressing weather.
Yeah.
They were talking about the spiritual background of hurricanes and things such as that. And he said that the politicians would be sitting in the congregations and they would get their direction from the pastors or the ministers that were in the pulpit, and they would make their decisions based on that.
Yes.
John Jay, who was the first Supreme Court, head of the Supreme Court justice, Chief Justice of
Chief
Supreme
justice.
Court, opened up the Supreme Court with prayer every day.
Yes.
You know, we had the opportunity on one of our trips to Washington, and we took a tour and actually went into the room in the Capitol building where the Supreme Court actually met in the beginning.
Yeah.
And they showed us where they would have those prayer times.
Absolutely.
Well, the effect that pastors and ministers have in this time is so important. It is so vital that each one of us, and let me talk to the pastors and the ministers directly right now. Each one of us has a responsibility in that pulpit to preach righteousness, to preach
Amen.
The things that God desires for us to preach, to get the word out there, because the awakening is going to begin in the church. That's where it's going to start.
Yes.
We talk about, Buddy, Washington needs to change, and there needs to be an outpouring there, and there needs to be an awakening in Washington. Well, I'll tell you, there needs to be an awakening in the church first.
What goes on in Washington is a reflection of what's going on out in
well,
the country.
There you
so
go.
So when we change the country, we'll change Washington, D.C. When us as Christians change our own behavior and strengthen our dedication to the Lord and really do what Kenneth says all the time, make Jesus Lord each and every day
yes.
over everything, it'll change the course of this nation. It'll filter through to the people around us.
Right.
It'll filter through to the people that we elect.
So are you telling us, Buddy Pilgrim, that we as the church and as citizens have more influence on Washington than, let's say, Washington has on us?
We better have.
Okay.
We sure should. It's our duty.
That's our duty.
To influence it, not let it influence us.
I like that.
Amen.
My gosh, I like that. Wow. So I pray for the pastors right now. In the name of Jesus, pastors, ministers, in Jesus' name, you take your rightful place
yes.
in the awakening.
Yes.
And you believe for the awakening to take place in your church services this Sunday.
Yes.
Open the door for the Holy Spirit to move. You do the same thing that I do. As I'm preparing my message for Sunday and preparing for the Sunday service, I always tell the Lord, Lord, whatever you want to do and whatever you want to say, that's what I want. That's what I want in my church. And if you want me to preach on righteousness, or you want me to preach on something political, you want me to preach on something about forgiveness, well, Lord, I will do that. Amen. In Jesus' name. Now listen to this word that Brother Copeland has. Speaking of forgiveness, listen to this word from Brother Copeland about forgiveness.
Let's talk about forgiving somebody. How do you do that? You call things be not as though they were. Yeah, but I don't want to forgive them. It's not optional, sweetheart. No, this is law. This is the law. And if you don't do it, you're a lawbreaker. Well, we ain't under the law. You're under this law. This is the New Testament law. Amen. The law of love. And it is a command. So, how do I do that? I do it by faith. I call things to be not as though they were. Amen. At the command of Jesus. So I take His word. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, sir, thank you. I forgive so-and-so. Now, in the name of Jesus, they are forgiven. I hold nothing against them, Lord. They are forgiven. Jesse said one time, said, Lord, I don't want to forgive them. You'll be too easy on them. You know that how? Because He was easy on you.
That's right.
Amen. His mercy endures forever. See, now the thing of it is, that wasn't when God found out about that sin when you confessed it. That's when you got rid of it. Because He's already covered it. See, amen. But you accepted that forgiveness and walked clear and clean of it. How did you do it? I said they are forgiven. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. They are forgiven. And then, oh, I thank you, Lord, that I've forgiven so-and-so. I just want to praise you. I love them because you love them. And praise God, I'm telling you, they're forgiven. This includes politicians. You can't go around getting mad at politicians because you're thinking they don't count. Or terrorists. Or the person that committed some atrocity in your life. Amen. If you don't forgive them, they're still committing it. That's right. You're still suffering under it. Right. I just can't do it. Put your hand right there. Put your hand right there. He can.
Right.
He can. Oh, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Well, why is He wanting me to forgive them? To get this off of you, to get this out of you, where your faith start working again. You're going to wind up sicker than they are.
That's right.
Wow.
I don't know of anyone who lives what he preaches any better than Kenneth Copeland does. When he preaches on forgiveness, I want to tell you, this is a man that walks in forgiveness.
He really does.
I mean, he just doesn't hold a grudge against anybody. He's not going to let his relationship with the Lord be disrupted by holding a grudge or unforgiveness against anyone. And we can learn that as well. As we just come out of this time where there are elections that were held, there has been a tendency over the last few years for division to be created each time there's an election that comes about, for the other side to start calling somebody names, to start referring to people in bad ways. And listen, we don't need to let people who call us names, who demean us, who degrade us, who insult us, who use all of those bad words against us to cause us to get off track. We need to do just what Brother Copeland said. We need to walk in forgiveness and then just keep walking by faith. And it stirred in me words, because people will use words against us, and that's what we need to forgive them, of the words that they say. But it also made me think about how important words are. I learned what I know about the importance of the spoken word from this ministry, that words have the power of death and life, that we have to be careful. I don't say this just kills me or man, this just makes me sick. I don't say those kind of things. I'm not going to speak them into being.
That's right.
But words are also important when we consider the political environment out there, too. And we're going to give you a list of some resources that you need to turn to and you can look at to try to get up to date, up to speed on what's going on in the political environment. And here's what I would say we need to pray, because we've been talking about prayer this week, George.
Yes, sir.
We need to pray that we all have discernment, both with our ears physically and discernment in particular to know and understand what people are saying so that we don't buy into the false narrative. I'm not going to use the word fake news that President Trump uses sometimes, but I don't want to buy into the false narrative that the devil uses to deceive people. And I'll give you a couple of quick examples of that. The first one, and I think the most important one, is when people fail to call abortion what it is. Abortion, I don't even like to say it's the killing of an unborn child, because it's like an unborn child is a different classification of a child. I even use this phrase. It's a child prior to birth, because it's still a child.
That's
I don't want to lose sight of the fact
Absolutely.
That it's a child. It's not a choice. It's not women's health care, because there's nothing healthy or caring. And these are why I'm talking about words, because if you get to reading language that's used on the left, they use words like reproductive freedom, women's health care, right to choose. Those words sound good and they're subtle and they deceive people. So we've got to have clarity to hear from God. The same thing occurs on so many other issues.
I like the fact where that's a concern. This just jumped into my thinking. I like the biblical, the word of when a woman is pregnant, she is with child.
Absolutely. Wow. With child.
With child.
Not with fetal tissue.
No,
she's with child.
She's with child.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So you need to have discernment. Go to the right places to get your information, then have discernment about everything that you read. Pray for God to give you discernment about these things, whether you're talking about Second Amendment rights and guns, or whether you're talking about abortion, whether you're talking about, some people use the term social justice.
Sure. Yeah.
Social justice is a subtle phrase that is used to deceive people and lead them to believe that socialism is better than capitalism, and it's not. We talked about that in our broadcast with Paula White a couple of weeks ago, that socialism is a godless system where all of the power and authority is put in government rather than in the hands of the people. And Jesus said He didn't come to enslave us to anything. He came to set us free.
Right, right. And I've got a couple of recommendations in these last moments that we have together here, just helping folks to know where to go. And I was just thinking, because before the broadcast we were talking about this, but as we were sitting here talking, it came to me, one great source for your news is CBN.
Yes.
You can really get, and they've got a CBN news app, and you can get a biblical perspective.
Absolutely.
On the news by following CBN. And then, of course, David Barton's Wall Builders.
Yes.
The resources that he has there. And I know that there are other good ones, but these two just really kind of jumped into my thinking. And then give us the ones that we have right here. And, Buddy, I'll mention this. Again, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, this is part of what we do. You'll be seeing from time to time Faith for Our Nation. We don't end it just because the election is ended. No. As a matter of fact, guess what? We've got a presidential election coming up in two more years. But it's all going to start in about a year. It's going to really crank up in about a year. And so we have our work to do, our sleeves rolled up. And the Lord has just added that mandate to Kenneth Copeland Ministries to be able to communicate this and get people connected to the political arena.
You've got two notebooks in front of you, Pastor George, this red one and this blue one. The red one represents the Republican Party and the blue one the Democrat. And those are the party platforms.
Yep.
And one of the things that Pastor George has done is he has taught on each of these two platforms. There's a tremendous amount of material in there, but one of the things you can do is just go Google Democrat or Republican party platforms. Google party platforms. Mm-hmm. I've got an article right here. It's 10 huge differences between the Democrat and Republican party platforms. And it lays it out real simple. In two pages, it'll give you the core differences between those two platforms.
And if you're really ambitious and really a student, you can do what I did. I printed out both of these Republican and Democratic, and I went through it, and I underlined, and I highlighted, and I studied, and I made it a part of what I educated myself on.
So read them, Google them, understand them. You can pray for our nation. You should actually get Pastor George's notes on this. You can go to the EMIC website and you can pick those up.
Exactly.
Get these notes. Exactly. That would be good for you to do. Watch these broadcasts. I have another broadcast you can watch, one that we've started doing here on the Believer's Voice of Victory Network.
Yep.
It's called Liberty Line. Do a little promo for one of our own shows. Liberty Line is kind of a political talk show with a Word of Faith worldview. You should tune in sometimes. In fact, go to the Believer's Voice of Victory Network and you can look up some of the previous broadcasts. Go to KCM.org or EMIC.
And I'm so grateful for these because the Lord is uncovering and revealing things to us, and this is one of the ways that He's doing it. You know, as we close out our session on this, and I've so enjoyed this being with you, buddy, but Pastor Terry on National Day of Prayer, and what a consummate prayer my wife is.
Yes.
Listen to this.
We come before you with our petition on the authority and the basis of your word this morning. That you said, Lord, for your name's sake, you would pardon the guilt of our nation. You said for your name's sake that you would be our rock and our fortress. For your name's sake that you would be our help and our salvation. That for your name's sake you would deliver us. For your name's sake you would make known your mighty power. For your name's sake you would deliver us and show us your good love and deliverance. For your name's sake you would preserve the life of this nation. And in your righteousness, you would bring us out of trouble. And though our iniquities would testify against us, for your name's sake, you will deliver us. Lord, we thank you on the basis of this word that you have spoken of yourself. For your name's sake, Lord, we do ask you and petition you, Lord, that you hear us, which we know you do, because we pray according to your word, and that you would forgive us. And we know you will, for you are faithful to that name. You are faithful to the name of Jesus. You are faithful to forgive. You are faithful to cleanse us by the washing of the water of the word. You are faithful to forgive by the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. You are faithful, Lord, to wipe away our sin and to refresh our righteousness in this nation, leading us, Lord, back into our position of righteousness among the nation. For thy great name's sake, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for your great name's sake, Jehovah, our healer. Jehovah, our healer, well able to heal anything that's broken, anything that's hurt. Oh, Lord, we lift to you all the hurts of this nation, all the hurts that years of strife, division, years of ignorance and lack of knowledge of you and your great compassions and love. Lord, to heal all the hurts that the devil has inflicted, Lord, when he should not have had any room to do so. All the hurts of oppression, depression, Lord, all the hurts of poverty and lack, disease, all the hurts, Lord, of bad leadership, wrong leadership, in every position of authority, in our government or our spiritual leaders, entertainment leaders, sports leaders, educational leaders, Lord, all across our land, all the leaders, Lord, that influence and impact our nation. We ask you, Father, to forgive us and to heal all the hurts that have been a result of faulty leadership. And give us great leaders, Lord. Give us great leaders. We pray for them. We pray that they be lifted up and put into office, even as elections come this weekend. We thank you, Father, that your choice will be put in. A man, a woman that will hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, and then for your name's sake, you will lead and guide. We thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you, your name is a great name. Your name is a powerful name, that at that name of Jesus, every tongue will bow, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Now, today, forever and ever, you, God, are our mighty God. Hallelujah.
The United States of America is called to be one nation under God. We take a stand for unity in our nation and will not allow the spirit of division to divide us. Be equipped with God's word with the Standing for Your Nation package, including A House Not Divided, Defeating the Spirit of Division by Kenneth Copeland, and One Word from God Can Change Your Nation featuring teaching from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Creflo Dollar, Happy Caldwell, and John G. Lake. Both books are available in paperback or as downloads on our website, kcm.org. God has raised us up to stand for what is right in America. As we come together on the Word, we will be a united front for the blessing of God in our nation.
Request your free Standing for Your Nation package on kcm.org/tvspecial. Shipping charges may apply. Offer good for 60 days. For more information, go to kcm.org.
Buddy, there was a decision that you made, that I made.
Yes.
The most important decision that we've ever made in our lives, as well as billions of others.
Yes.
And that decision was to make Jesus the Lord of their lives. You know, people, Buddy, in the country, they're worried, they're concerned, they're wondering what's going to happen, what's going to take place. And really, the bottom line of the assurance and the peace that we have is making Jesus the Lord of our lives. And if you're looking for a peace that you've never had before, you can pray this prayer with us today, and you can experience a life in Christ that you've never experienced before, and you'll be born again. Why don't you do this? Why don't you repeat after me, Buddy? You'll repeat after me to help them out. Just say this. Go before the Lord and say this. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For Jesus.
For Jesus.
Right now.
Right now.
I make Jesus the Lord of my life.
I make Jesus the Lord of my life.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Change my life.
Change my life.
And do something with it.
And do something with it.
Thank you, Father, now.
Thank you, Father, now.
For the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
For the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you have done that, you can request your free salvation package. It includes a book called He Did It All For You. And then there are a couple of brochures in there about how you can study the Word of God. And it will just bring light to your life.
Yes.
And you can go to kcm.org and you can get that book.
Study notes from the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast are available free. Download them at kcm.org/notes. To get the whole set of study notes, log in, select the broadcast week, and then click download. Receive the study notes onto your desktop, print them to use for your Bible study, or even to follow along with the speaker on the broadcast. Empower your life with the Word of God at your fingertips. Download your free study notes today.
It's offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory, and partners, I have a scripture for you. Thank you for all of your giving. Thank you for giving today to be part of this work that's being done. And every time you give, you know that there is a result to your giving. And the result to your giving is found in 2 Corinthians 9:8 in the Amplified Translation. This is one of my favorite scriptures. God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over all of those who faithfully give to this ministry. I thank you for the multiplication of their seed, and they're living in the overflow. Father, they are increasing more and more, they and their children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Praise God.
I've been a partner with this ministry for over 30 years, George, and I want to tell you, for the rest of you out there, if you're not a partner, you need to become one today. And we want to thank you, if you are a partner, for helping us preach the uncompromised Word of God from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. You have a part in all of the
That's
seed
right.
that you sow into this ministry.
That's right.
You have a part in all of the lives that are affected all around the world Praise because God. Of the work of this ministry.
Praise God. Buddy, I want to thank you. What a joy it is to work with you and to have you here and to be part of this ministry. And listen, you can watch any of the broadcasts again, kcm.org or our Roku channel. Go to church this weekend if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I want to invite you to come join us at Eagle Mountain International Church on the grounds of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. It is pretty exciting around here with the Kenneth Copeland Bible College going on. We've got that. We've got television. We've got church. I mean, it is really happening around
this place. It's a busy place.
It is a busy place. Well, this is Pastor George Pearson's and Buddy Pilgrim reminding you that
Jesus is Lord over the United States of America.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. If you prefer, you can also go to kcm.org/give or call 800-600-7395. Text to Give is available in the U.S. only.